All right. Welcome, everybody, to the Iowa Gravel Series Podium Podcast. I'm your host, Chris McQueen, and like always, we have an amazing guest for you. This is Jessie Combs that we're talking to today. She stood proudly on this podium yet again at Pisgah. This is her second time, although looks like there was a little bit of an upset. Maybe we'll talk a bit about that. This is the second time we've talked to Jessie. Last time we had a great opportunity to meet with her and Julie Brewer and talk a lot about Prairie Bloom, a wonderful cycling group out of Omaha, the largest cycling group in Omaha, and it's women's only. It's amazing. So we love having Jessie on the show. Jessie, thank you so much for being here.
Heck yeah, absolutely.
So, Jessie, how have things been in the last year since we talked last? And have there been any big changes? I don't know. Maybe that's going back too far.
No, I'm trying to think of, because we talked to you, gosh, time goes by way too fast. I think we talked to you right after Pisgah last year. So lots of things. The race team started up earlier this year. So last year it was just the club. We now have the race team. So in terms of cycling, that's been big. Personally, just work is always busy and crazy and stuff like that. But otherwise it's just been, you know, the race team and supporting, Julie and anything else we can do to get that going. But yeah, lots of racing, lots of bike riding this year. So a lot more races this year than I did last year. So.
Wow, that's great. So yep. I think we were talking a little bit before we started the recording and everything, but it sounds like you've heavily participated in the Nebraska Off-Road Series.
Yep.
You're on the Prairie Bloom cycling team that's yep. sponsored and official and does stuff and then anything else in terms of like main focus this year? Was there any big races that you got to compete in this year?
Gosh, I feel like my A race, you know, I did the Gunnison Growler, which is a mountain bike race out in Gunnison, Colorado. So, I trained heavy for that one. And you know, like I said, my main goal, you know, I know the purpose of this podcast is gravel, but mountain bike, I feel like they both kind of help me in one way or the other. My technical skills with mountain biking help the gravel length and endurance help in the mountain biking. So to me, I kind of see them side by side sometimes, but yeah, just, you know, there was Gravel Worlds, went to Spearfish, South Dakota with a bunch of local, people, went to Gravel Nationals. That was pretty amazing. Got to be a part of that. So we didn't do the full 131 miles, but we were able to see Keegan Swenson win Gravel Nationals, which if anybody knows me well, I'm a huge Keegan Swenson fan. So I got to meet him. Julie was my wing woman, and we got to meet him and take a picture with him after the race. So a lot of highlights this year. Did a race in Breckenridge over the 4th of July. It was an option to do a duo team. So I did a co-ed duo with my boyfriend, Colin Lodel, who is a member on the Chaos team. So we did pretty good for being flatlanders against a bunch of Colorado people. I think we kind of ended up in the middle somewhere. But yeah, lots of races and the season's still not over. So a few more coming up. So.
Oh, wow. Well, yeah, there's a lot in there. You mentioned it very at the beginning. It's out in the Black Hills. The first
Spearfish.
Yep. I've done the Spearfish Marathon, but I mean that's a beautiful area, and that's a mountain bike race. Gravel Worlds is gravel.
Yep.
Nebraska Off-Road Series is mountain biking. Yep. There was another one in there. I was trying to get kind of a ratio between gravel and.
And also for yacht, so Chaos does Tuesday Night Worlds. So I did all the crit series too. So I ended up, I think myself and Morgan Chafin were the only two women to do all the races this year. So this year was a lot of racing, supporting the teams. A lot of racing this year.
The year of racing. That's fantastic. I still want to get out to do a criterium, do some crit racing at some point. It scares the crap out of me.
Oh, me too. Me too. It really does.
but it's really more of a like a time issue than a desire at this point. Like my time is more of a problem than my fear. So I think I just need to fit it in and schedule it. So let's talk a little bit about, I'm curious how you've been fitting this all in. You said you were really busy with work, but this is a lot of racing. Like how are you balancing that lately?
Well, lately I'm not. I think I mentioned before we got on the podcast here. I actually have not been able to ride as much as I would like, just lately with work. About a month ago, my supervisor left, and then so did my assistant controller. I'm in the business and finance office over at UNO. So, and this is my busy time. So I've been pretty swamped. But my focus, I don't have kids or anything like that. So I am able to have a little bit more free time and flexibility with cycling. If I wasn't working or, spending time with friends and I was cycling. So that's just kind of my biggest hobby. So weekends come around and, the lawn might need to be mowed or the house needs to be cleaned, but my bike needs to be ridden. So somehow I make it
priorities.
Work. Yes, yeah. Absolutely. Yes.
Well, I struggle with this too. I mean, I have a family, I have a job, I have the gravel series, I have someone nominated me to be on the HOA. I'm like, no, that's the meanest thing you could ever do to a person. You get really busy, and I find that I'll spend like a good chunk of my morning like in half a kit. Like I'll have my bibs underneath my work clothes. Yeah. And then I know I'll have like an hour break between something and I'll either, jump on the bike and hit the road, or I've tried to be more flexible and be okay with the fact that like, maybe I won't get it in at the exact time that I want to, but trying to fit it in sometime in the day. What do you find has been working for you?
The beginning of this, like I had mentioned, I did the Gunnison Growler in May. And so that was kind of my first A race of the year. And I did a lot of training, regimented schedule and whatnot, and just with work and the stressors of that, really priority has been sleep and then riding when I can. So right now it's mainly been focusing on weekend rides more for fun, less regimented training and whatnot. I mentioned to you too, Bohemian Stone Mill is this Saturday, and so mainly just doing that for fun. I've always wanted to do it. It's in a cool area of Nebraska, and just about an hour west of here. So I'm just like, if I can ride a couple times a week, that's gonna be fine. Where before I was like, every other day at least, or and then in between doing yoga or something to stretching, or because the older I get, the more aches and pains I'm feeling. And so it is heavy to really balance all of that, but I'm probably a little bit less regimented than some, but it's also getting towards the end of the season, so I'm just trying to have a good time. So
yeah, no, I think that's good. Well, so tell me a little bit, why Bohemian Stone Mill? Like you sound like you're excited for that one. I've not done that one yet, but it's always one of those ones where I feel like it's got a bit of a history. It's it's very much in that more of a grassroots, but also more established realm. Tell me what you're looking forward to there.
I think all of what you just basically said, grassroots, all I hear are great things about it that people have done. I always want a challenge, so I've heard it's challenging. Honestly, I like that it's kind of on the smaller scale. I looked at the registration list. It's not over the top. It's not going to be like a Gravel Worlds and you have to make a whole ordeal of it. Not that that's a bad thing. And again, like I said, I mean, it's a free entry fee too. I mean, that can't get, that not that usually that deters me from doing anything, but it's like, why not try it, I just, again, it's just, I think all women finishers get a free cake from Goldenrod Pastries too, which is super cool.
That was something that I want to bring up. I'm pretty sure there's some really good snacks out there. I don't know if they do anything for the guys or anything, but
I'm not sure about that, but and the last thing I wanted to say is another reason I wanted to do is I have never done a century. It's on my list. Surprising. I think it's because I do more mountain biking, and doing 100 miles on a mountain bike is really, really hard. So I just thought it would be cool. I'm like, hey, why not give it a shot and have Bohemian Stoma be my first century on a doing a gravel ride. So
I think the weather's going to be on your side, at least from what we're having here on this side of Nebraska. So
yeah, it's going to be a little chilly. Nice. I think it's like high of 58, 60, which I love because I love fall weather. But I think the start's going to be like, upper 30s, maybe 40 degrees. So it's going to be a little chilly, but
so
I'd rather be chilly than hot.
Yes. So what's your strategy going into this? What are you thinking in terms of like pacing and what you're hoping to do? And
I'm really just trying to have a good time, listen to my body. Because like I said, I haven't been really like training. I know I can do 100 miles. It's not how fast I'm going to do it. Probably not very fast, but Carly Thompson, who is also a Prairie Bloom race team member, is also doing it. So I think we're just going to kind of play it by ear and just try to have a good time and race by feel. We're not going for any records or, anything like that. But just kind of seeing how the body feels. And I'm like, well, if Gravel Worlds is like 70, I did the 75, which technically ends up being 78. I'm like, I can do 22 more miles. I know I can do it. So, really no strategy, just kind of going out there, making sure I've got enough fuel, enough water, and just going to enjoy it really. Not have any expectations, if that makes sense. So, yeah.
Well, I think if I remember right, you tend to do your best when you go in with this strategy, because at least last time we talked, and I think this year in Pisgah, and maybe we can talk a little bit about that, I've heard that you have the tendency to say, hey, we're just going to go have a good time. We're going to have a good time. And then Jesse, like about 30% into it, 40% into it, is like, all right, it's go time.
Yeah, I like to go hard. Let's put it that way. I don't like to ride slow, but I like to ride within my means. So unless it's a race, but like I said, even though this is, I think, considered a race, it just doesn't really feel like an actual race. So I don't really feel any pressure. I'm really just doing it for fun. And riding within my limits. Yep.
Well, I'm excited to hear an update on it. I really do want, to hear about the cake. Like I'm really curious about the cake. They look amazing.
And sweets are like two of my top favorite things. So I'm pretty pumped about it. So
it's one. Yeah. I mean, it's one of those things you can kind of mix together pretty well. I did a long ride on Saturday, and I'm by the end of it, I'm like, give me something that's not sweet.
Oh yeah. Sometimes it can be a little bit too much. Yeah, for sure. Yep.
So anything memorable? So Pisgah turned out a little bit different this year than last year. So in 2022, we had a sweep by the Prairie Bloom team. It was fantastic with Jesse, you on in first place. This year, a little bit different, only because we had, I don't know if she's infamous, but I think of her as infamous, the infamous Teresa Bender.
Oh, yeah. Yes, Teresa is... I tried to hang with Teresa as long as I can. She's just on a different level. Let's put it that way in a good way. So
when did, like, do you remember, I know Pisgah's been more than a month away, so it can be a little tricky, yep. But do you remember how long you stuck together and then at what point you kind of got separated?
I want to say probably after, I really don't know, Chris. I probably think I tried to like hang for about 10 miles and then I was like, okay, I cannot sustain this for the rest of the race. So it was probably for about the first 10 miles, just trying to stay up with the group, catch a draft from the guys and hang on as long as I could. But and then eventually I was like, okay, I can't do that any longer. And then I think I synced up with Todd Iberg at one point, and then I ended up probably riding with him for a lot of the race. So that was cool. So
it is nice to have, I personally love it when I can like kind of look around and say, hey, what do you think? From my running days, I remember when it was nice when you do a marathon or a half marathon, you kind of could get into like pace groups. And you're like, all right, everybody here is going to try for a 7:30 or an eight minute mile or whatever. I sometimes wish we had a big enough field or had pacers on the route. So it's like, look, if you're aiming for that, you know, that 4 hour mark on this gravel racer, if you're really going to want to push it, yeah, you want to be 3:30. If you're going to be up in the 3 hour mark, you're on your own.
Yeah. Yes.
in terms of pacing, but yeah, everybody cool, else, maybe every 30 minutes. Cause I think you came in right around 3:45, which I thought was really solid.
Yeah, I beat my time. I mean, I think the course was a little different last year, but I think in terms of mileage and elevation, I don't think it was too much different, was it?
I've kept it a bit of the same. So for those who are listening for the first time, Pisgah is an interesting race. It's not, most of the races on the Iowa Gravel Series are 100K or 50K. Yep. And I try to keep really close to that 62, 63 miles range. Pisgah is a little bit unusual in its elevation. And so I've historically shortened it, mainly because I feel like the way it wraps up for the most part feels about right. And nobody's ever been like, dude, you shorted me like 8 miles. What's up with that?
Right. Yeah.
And so this year, what happened is there on 2022, we had a Class B road called Ideal. Mm-hmm. And the joke was always that it wasn't ideal. Well, it was it was less than ideal this year. They actually turned it from a Class B road into a Class C road, and they had it chained off. Wow. And I talked to the folks that, because now it's under the management of the property owners nearby. I talked to them. They were totally up for me having folks go through there, but it was really rough. It like either had to be mowed or bladed or something. It was it would have been tough. So I shunted everybody off onto another Class B road, which the name escapes me right now, but I did have a memorable moment on it.
Yes, it was a great route. It tends to be a route though where I just kind of put my head down and just push as hard as I can. So it was a rough race for me this year. It was tough for sure. So
what happened? What made it? Was there anything specific?
I don't really know. It's funny. It's like some races feel really good and others just feel really hard, and it just felt really tough this year. I don't know. I put my head down, and it was funny because last year it was a lot sandier. There was that sandy section that I almost went down last year, and that didn't happen this year. But I don't know. I think just maybe trying to go above my limit, maybe the first 10 miles kind of set me up for the rest of the race. But and you know, I knew Fulton was coming. You know, last year I did no race recon. I had no idea what to expect. And I zoomed up that gravel road thinking, I just got to make it to the top of this gravel road and I'm done. No, last year you take a right and you're like, no. So I knew that was coming this year. So it was kind of like, I don't even think I got all the way up the gravel road even. So I was like, I've got some time. Let's just get up this thing and go from there. So, it was just a tough race. Like I said, I like to ride hard and do the best I can, see what my body's capable of. So it's always hard.
It is always hard.
They say it never gets easier, you just get faster. So
right. Yep. And yep. I think it is especially difficult when you know what is coming. I think those are some of the hardest races. I've done Serum number of years in a row, if you're familiar with that
I've
race
heard of it, out
it's south of Des Moines and Cummings, Iowa. And I know it's coming for the most part. I know what's going to happen, and it can be really difficult. This year, I think we thankfully got in before it got too hot, and that mm-hmm. was to everybody's benefit, but it was still on the warmer side, the whole day, which I think can make anything difficult. Do you have any techniques or anything that you use to, like, do you have problems with heat? Is that something that you have to manage carefully?
For sure. I mean, you know, honestly, it was warm this year, but I almost feel like at the start it was almost a tad chilly, which was really weird because it did end up being warm, but nothing that was not manageable. But I mean, really just making sure I'm hydrated the day before if I know it's going to be hot. Just setting myself up for that, you know, the day before, making sure I'm getting electrolytes in, and really just make sure that's really all you can do. Make sure you're eating. You know, nutrition is big, and it's hard for me when I'm racing hard to actually get like solid foods in. So I'm usually sticking to like you know, the gels and stuff like that. So that's just been me, though. A lot of people, my boyfriend prefers to eat actual food, so he'll eat Clif bars and stuff like that, and I just can't seem to do that during races, but everybody's different. So
yeah, I struggled with Clif bars. I think it's more the I like oats, like I love mm-hmm. Clif bars in general, but actually riding I struggle a little bit with it. And I do pretty well with gels. I do great with putting my nutrition in a bottle. Do you do any nutrition in the bottle, or do you stick to the gels?
Yeah, I've got the Super Fuel that Scratch makes, and I've used that a few times, and that seems to work really well. So if I can stick to just hydration and fuel in the bottles, that's usually the way to go. So that's usually what I try to do.
So can I tell you about an experiment that I'm trying? I'm curious what your thoughts would be. Would you attempt this experiment is my question. So I was listening to the Trainer Road podcast not too long ago, and they talked about how the Little Debbie cosmic brownies are like probably the most carbohydrate dense snack caloric, food that you can get.
Caloric, like most calories. Yep.
It's like 340 calories for a brownie, which is mind boggling.
Yes. I did not realize they were that much either. I was like, wow.
Maybe it's 240, but either way, like that's still a lot for what it is. I mean, that's more than a Coke, you know.
Yes, it is.
So so I bought 3 boxes of Little Debbie, 1 a cosmic brownie, zebra cakes, and something else, I forget what it is. And so I'm gonna try that on one of my next big rides here. Not at the beginning. I don't think I'm gonna start off with that. But would you, would you ever just go straight up junk food?
Oh yeah, for sure. I would for sure. Maybe, you know, make sure it's not a ride or a race that, you know, I need to do really well at or something like that, just to make sure that I can handle it. But, I am not a junk food. I'm not against it. So, I like junk food, you know, I try to stay away from it, but, I would definitely be all about. I think I asked you to have the oatmeal cream pies or little. What did I ask for Pisgah? That was my request.
I thought so. I thought it was. Either oatmeal cream. Yeah, I prefer them frozen. Do you ever do that?
Oh, never done that before. Personally, I can't tell you the last time I bought a box of any of those things, but I like to have them at the races. But yeah,
so, no, that's good practice. Yeah.
Yeah.
No. I mean that is one of the fun things about being in a sport like this, where you get to think about nutrition in a very different way, and fueling in a very different way, which I think is always kind of fun and exciting. Yeah. I want to go back real quick on one topic, and then maybe you know, see if there's anything else that you want to chat about. But I wanted to talk about the Nebraska Off-Road Series. You love mountain biking. I've never done anything yet. I have a fantastic mountain bike that sits way too often because
What a shame.
I know, it's a total shame. And it's a cross-country mountain bike. It's a really great. I have a Canyon Lux. Cool. It's fantastic.
Nice.
And so I want to get out and try some of those, but you know, time being what it is. Tell me give me a little bit of a rundown on the Nebraska Off-Road Series from pretend I don't know anything about it.
Sure.
You know, for our audience and what your experience was, because what it sounds like is you did every race.
Yep. Yep. So there's supposed to be 6, but Branched Oak in July ended up getting, I believe, rained out, I think. So, but it's a local race series, starts in April. They usually have one every month through September, and a bunch of different categories. You have the cross country category, you know, if you're Cat 3, Cat 2, Cat 1, you know. They've got junior races. They have a short course, which is just obviously, just like it says, a shortened version of the course. And it's all the main, you know, mountain bike trails in the area. And so, but then what I like to call the hardest category is the marathon category, which is 3 hours, as many laps as you can get. So that was my main goal this year, was to do all races, all marathon category this year. And so I met my goal, and I think I mentioned to you, I think out of all the participants, I think I was the only one who did all five this year. So it's super tough. And if you can imagine, you know, like you said, you don't mountain bike, but 3 hours at Lewis and Clark is hard. So
I mean, I can do 3 hours at Lewis and Clark. I'm not saying I'm moving the whole time. Yes. But Lewis and Clark is, for those that don't know, is I would call Lewis and Clark one of those routes or one of those mountain bike areas where it wasn't so much as planned as it was like an evolvement, as like just like mountain bikes evolved over time. This was an area that like a whole bunch of kids probably just were messing around in the woods in an area making trails. And then they're just like, well, I guess this is a thing. And they like sanctioned it as a place because it is scrappy. Is that fair to say?
That's probably, you know, I don't ride there a ton, but it's got everything. I think there are certain sections of it that are like, they have a lot of technical features and that you can avoid and stuff like that. But, I think during that race, I can't remember how many laps I did, but going up Neverest more than a few times in one ride is tough. So I think I did it at least 4 or 5 times. But yeah, it's a hard course, and I actually think it's the series least attended course just because it is so difficult. So I don't know what the plans are for next year, if they're gonna keep that one or what they'll plan to do, but it's a tough race, so it was hard. very hard.
So what's your strategy, especially with a 3-hour effort? I mean, are you okay with saying, look, I'm just gonna almost like, you know, cyclocross this section, I'm gonna plan on jumping off and just footing it a little bit because it's not worth it, or do you really try to stick to the saddle and use your gears?
You know, I just try to go as hard as I can during those, as hard as my body will let me, just because I, you know, it was the big goal this year, and I did want to place well and do good. Yeah, it's, some races were really great. Lewis and Clark didn't feel so great, especially when you went into it not really wanting to do it, because it's just, I knew how hard it was going to be. It's just depends on the day too. Tranquility is always a crazy, crazy hot race. It was a little bit less hot this year, but crazy humid.
Tranquility, if I remember right, it doesn't have, it's fairly exposed. There's not a lot of trees at Tranquility. It's kind of a good chunk of it's up on the side of a hill that, I mean, there's no trees. It's just prairie.
Yeah. South side is very exposed, and then they don't really do much of the north section. But you know, there's the middle nursery part, but yeah, I feel like a lot of it is exposed, so you don't get a lot of that shade, which is unfortunate. But
Swanson, how do you, what's it, where does Swanson rank on it?
On like difficulty level or like just overall?
Enjoyment. That's the place where I tend to, it's fairly close to me. And again, we're talking about like Nebraska, Omaha, mountain biking scene, which maybe isn't super relevant to folks that are out in Des Moines and the sure. Quad Cities and Iowa City area. But Nebraska has some really, and Omaha specifically, this area has some really great mountain biking that I think people should check out. So where does Swanson rate for you?
Swanson is... Swanson actually is funny because that's when I first started getting into mountain biking, like, you know, 2015, that's where I crashed and broke my collarbone. But which is funny to think back on it, because to me, Swanson or Tranquility are like, if you're just starting out, those are probably the two places to start. And then Swanson is usually always the last couple of years, it's been the first race of the series. So it started in April. So that's usually when people are still, you know, getting their fitness back and whatnot, but that's usually a good place to start, just because it is, you know, one of the least technical ones and in terms of, you know, difficulty level. So, that's usually like a good one to start with for the season. So, yeah.
And then what are the other two?
So it was Swanson, May was Calvin Crest out near Fremont, which is that and Platt are probably my two favorite. And then June was Lewis and Clark. July was Branched Oak, which got rained out. August was Tranquility, and then they ended the year with Platt, and that they synced that up with Thorfest. So they had Thorfest and the Platt race at the same time, which was really cool. So it was really cool.
And Thor, for those that I think Thor is national, I forget, but Trails Have Our Respect is the group that manages a lot of these trails in and around this area on the Nebraska side. And I guess I don't know how much they do at Lewis and Clark, since that's on the Iowa side, but they're a fantastic group as well. They do a lot really to great. Make sure the trails are good. What was Trail Fest like? I heard a lot of good things about it.
It was really great. I think last year was kind of their first time doing it, and it was just completely different this year. They were able to sync it up with, like I said, with the NOS series, which I think was really great. They had food vendors, music. They actually the Platte race, they usually always have on the east side. So it was on the west side, which I feel is more flowy. I mean, you have a lot of long descents with sharp, uphill, but a little bit less technical than the east side, in my opinion. But still difficult nonetheless. So I all I see is that event getting bigger and better every year. So they did a great job, had a ton of volunteers. I hope they continue to kind of sync the NOS race series with the fest at the same time, because it just made more of a reason to get out there and get more people out there to watch, which is always nice. So
yeah, that makes it, that sounds really cool.
Yeah, it was
cool. Well, Julie, I'm sorry, Jesse.
That's okay. Compliment.
I had
two J's, and we hang out a lot, so, and ride bikes a lot. So
you probably get that a lot. And I had my notes up from our last chat up with Julie, and so I read that. Jesse, it's been fantastic chatting with you. I'm curious, one thing that I always like to ask, and I think I don't know if I asked this last time though, because we had that more of that conversation about Prairie Bloom and things, which is a fantastic episode. Go search on YouTube or on our podcast for that. That was about a year ago. Given, we have another year of understanding and growth and wisdom and experience all under our belt here. If you had a magic wand, what is it that you would love to see in cycling, whether it's mountain biking or cyclocross or gravel or whatever? What is it that you'd like to see here in the cycling world if you just had a magic wand that can make it happen?
More women racing, period. More women racing. I feel like we were able to get more women this year, but like even at Platt, there was only a few of us there. And it would just be nice to see more women out there getting more comfortable. I think that's a big thing. I would just like to see more women in the sport racing and having a good time, and know that you don't always need to win. You don't always, easier said than done, but it's really just a chance to get out there and meet other cyclists. And if you get anything out of a race, it's all you do is get more fit. So if it's just another opportunity to get a workout in and get more fit and hang out with other cyclists. So that's what I'd like to see for sure. Yeah.
Awesome. Last question for sure. How would you know if you had too many women in cycling? Is that going to be a thing? Are we not going to worry about that?
I don't think we'll ever get there, but that would be really cool. If they surpass the number of men, I guess maybe.
You're like, oh man,
I don't see that happening, unfortunately. But it would be cool to see it. The same number of women racing as men. But
we know we've arrived there. Cool. Well, so good to catch up with you. I hope that. Do you know what your big? I said it was my last question, but I do want to get.
Oh, you're good. You're good.
Do you know what your big A race might be for next year? What are you considering?
I don't know, because all I can think about next year is Crested Butte, Monarch Crest, mountain biking, no racing. I mentioned to you too that Julie and I said less racing next year, like less racing, maybe one or two a month. But gosh, I want to go back, and I never thought I'd say this. I want to do spearfish again. I want to do spearfish. A lot of people know this, but I actually cried during the race. It was that hard. It was, and that was just like a small piece of it. But I had a little crash and at mile 30. And, you know, for people that don't know, it's a 50-mile mountain bike race. I think it was around 6,500 feet of elevation. But I have never had that type of emotion during a race. So I feel like I need to go back next year and conquer it. And I don't know. It was like crying from just too many emotions. It wasn't even really because of how hard it was, but it was just, a crazy race. For sure.
I've been there. That's okay. It's okay. It's okay to have a good cry on a race.
That's so crazy. I never had that before. I was like, what is happening right now? Yeah, it was nuts.
Well, yeah. I hope that happens and we get to chat more about it. And you can tell me all about how you had your pockets full of Little Debbie oatmeal cream pies and how it fueled you to a fantastic finish at Spearfish.
Because that's what I was missing. Yeah. I just needed those cosmic brownies for sure.
Yep. Well, very cool. Jesse, thank you so much. We will catch up with you soon.
Yes. Thanks, Chris.
All right. Bye.
Bye.